You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
You know, we've been in this series right now called Grow. And it's been all about the different aspects of our Christian walk and the faith in which we find ourselves trying to be better in, right? And we talked in the beginning about making sure that the soil of our heart was good and that it was prepared to receive what God wanted to do in our lives. Because if the soil's not good, you can't grow anything, right? I mean, it's hard to grow stuff in really hard, nasty soil that there's just no nutrients in, and you can't water concrete, right? So we got to make sure that the soil's good. And we went through a few other things, and last week, Pastor Gabriel talked about the fact that you matter, that God has got a plan for your life, that God has put stuff in motion for you, and the devil, all he wants to do is steal your purpose from you. But we're not going to let him do that, right? Amen. God has got something great for each and every one of us. Some of us are right in the wheelhouse, if you will, of that purpose that God has. Some of us are in the process of working towards that goal that God has for us. And some of us are yet to find what that purpose is. But rest assured, no matter what, God has a specific purpose for your life. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how far away from God you are. It doesn't matter where you find yourself today. Just know that God has a purpose for your life. But you know, God has a bigger, deeper purpose, as a collective purpose for every single one of us. And I want to talk to you for just a minute. Are any of you guys football fans in the South? That's asking, like, you know, are you breathing, basically, except if you're my wife, who has all of a sudden decided she's a big NBA fan, which is funny to me. But anyway, so go Thunder, I guess. We get one person, you know, it's like, what? Anyway, but I'm a big Florida Gator fan. I've been a Florida Gator fan since I was about, since I was about 12 or so. And I became a Gator fan back in the days of Steve Spurrier. He had just gotten to Florida. You know, he's a South Carolina coach now. And if you followed SEC football for any length of time, you may know the name Danny Werfel. Okay, Danny Werfel was a quarterback at the University of Florida from 1993 to 1996. But what a lot of people don't know, if you don't follow the University of Florida and all that stuff, is how Danny Werfel came to be who he was in college football. There was a guy named Terry Dean, and Terry Dean was highly recruited out of high school, and he was Spurrier's first quarterback recruit. And they say that when he got Terry Dean to come to Florida, it was just like all the buzz. Everybody was so excited that Terry Dean was coming to Florida. Well, he went through his career, and Dean was having a great career. But in 1993, on the road at Kentucky, Dean started to struggle. And if you know anything about Steve Spurrier does not like for his quarterbacks to struggle, and he has no problem sitting his quarterbacks very quickly. Well, they had a freshman coming in, and his name was Danny Werfel. And we were losing to Kentucky at the end of this game. There was about a minute left in the game on the road at Kentucky. Kentucky hasn't beaten Florida in years and years and years, and they're about to win. Kentucky's winning, and Spurrier benches his star quarterback, Terry Dean, because he's not playing well. He brings Danny Werfel in, this freshman. And what comes next is one of the most famous moments in Florida football history. Danny Werfel throws a touchdown about 35 yards with 8 seconds left to Chris Doering, and it just went down as history as the Doering's got a touchdown. And from that point, except for about one game, Danny Werfel was the starter from that point forward. They won 4 SEC titles under Danny Werfel. They won a national title under Danny Werfel. Danny Werfel became the second Heisman Trophy winner for the University of Florida. He now has a statue outside of the stadium down at the University of Florida. He's got his name on the Ring of Honor around the stadium. Let me tell you a little bit about Danny Werfel's work ethic. I told you that he started from that point on, except for one game. Or a couple of games, I guess it was. But Werfel, as a freshman, started to struggle against Georgia in the rain. He couldn't throw the ball well. And so Spurrier benched him and put Dean back in. Dean led Florida back to a victory, right? The next day, and the whole week after that, Danny Werfel comes out to the practice field after practice is over, him and one receiver with a big old thing of footballs and a 5-gallon bucket of water. And he'd put the bucket of water down and he'd take a football and he'd dip it, pull it out, and throw. And he would do that for hours every day. And he won the starting job back. Terry Dean got benched again. Terry Dean sat down and wouldn't talk to anybody, wouldn't work, it wouldn't do anything at practice. And he lost the job. Let me tell you something. Sometimes replacements happen. Sometimes the first plan doesn't work the way you think it's going to, right? Sometimes stuff gets put into practice. Sometimes stuff gets put into place that even God thinks, or we all know that God is all-knowing, but God's first plan gets put into place, and then sometimes a replacement has to be made. Let me tell you a story about an angel named Lucifer. Lucifer is one of the three named angels in the Bible. We have Gabriel, we have Michael, and we have Lucifer. Gabriel is known as the herald angel. Every time we see Gabriel in the Bible, Gabriel is telling somebody something. He's delivering the message of God to people. He's the one that appears to Mary. He tells her that Jesus is going to be born. He tells people stuff. Every time we see Michael mentioned in the Bible, Michael is the warring angel. Michael is fighting battles. Michael is literally leading the armies of heaven in battle. And then we have Lucifer. We don't know a ton about Lucifer, but let me read a few things that we do know. This is found in Ezekiel 28, and I want to read starting in verse 13 through verse 15. It says this: "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created." In other words, it was created in you. "You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you." Let's look at Isaiah 14, verse 11. It says, "Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you." See, Lucifer... Oh, let me read this to you. Isaiah 14, 12 and 2 Corinthians 11, 14 say this. They talk about Lucifer being an angel of light. The Bible calls him, "O Lucifer, star of the morning." Lucifer literally emanated light. Okay, now you got to follow this. This is gonna blow your mind here. We're talking about worship today. We're talking about living the life of worship. Lucifer was created with a purpose, and his purpose was worship. Ezekiel says, "You were the one who covers." I looked at that. I did some research on that. What that means is that he literally covered the throne of God with worship. That was his purpose, was to bring worship into the throne room of God. Now, I want you to follow a little bit of what Lucifer was created as. The Bible says he was created with all these beautiful stones and precious gems and all this stuff in him. He was created with timbrels, which are basically tambourine-like percussion instruments. He was created with pipes, which are wind instruments. He was created with stringed instruments, and he emanated light. I want you to understand something. If you put light through crystal, it makes crazy colors, right? And he had music built into him. Lucifer was a walking worship service. Like, you need to get this. Light came out of him through these stones, through these gems, and he had music built into him. Gabriel was meant to carry the word of God. Michael was meant to war against the enemy. Lucifer was meant to worship God and to lead heaven in worship. But the Bible says that iniquity was found in him because of his beauty, because of how great he saw himself, because of the beauty in which God created him. He found himself saying, "I will raise myself up to the highest heavens. I will be higher than God." And the Bible says that he was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels that followed him in a rebellion. There was no fight. There was war. But at the moment God said, you're done, go, he was cast down. So let me explain something to you. In that moment, God's plan, God's beautiful, awesome creation for worship was cast out of heaven. And it left a gap. Now, God is a God of order. God does not do something by accident. So God looks at what he's got left. And he says, okay, my starter messed up. My starter messed up. He's on the bench. He's done. He's never going to play for me again. I need a backup. So God says, I created Lucifer out of the celestial air to be this great worship thing. What can I create now? And he reaches down into dirt. Do you get that? He reaches down into dirt and says, I will create man. And when he created man, you need to get this. Satan was created with wind instruments inside of him. You know what you've got inside of you? You've got a windpipe that air flows through that you can make music with. The Bible says that he was created with timbrels, which is percussion instruments. You know what you've got on the end of your arms? You've got percussion instruments on the end of your arms. Bible says that he was made with stringed instruments inside him. You know what you've got in your throat? You've got these things called vocal cords that go back and forth that make noise. You were created to fill the gap that the archangel of heaven left. You need to understand your purpose in this life is to worship the Creator God. It's not about singing a song for 20 minutes on a Sunday morning. It's not about how good or how bad the band is, no matter if it's here or Hillsong. It doesn't matter. Worship has got to be more than 20 minutes on a Sunday morning. See, you're created to worship. Worship comes out from the inside of you because God created you that way. He created you that way, and we have to get that this morning, because if you don't understand that your purpose is worship, then you're never going to understand what God has for the rest of your life. The Bible says over 250 times, praise the Lord your God, or worship the Lord your God, or let the earth worship him. Over 250 times in the Word of God, we are commanded to worship. You need to understand, worship is your purpose. Okay, well, Shane, that's great, but what does that mean for me? What you need to understand is this, and this is where we'll kind of look at your handout you've got. I've got some blanks for you to fill in there. We'll get to those in just a second. But you got to understand, worship is not just singing and music. It's something much deeper. It's something that comes out from the inside of you. Pastor Gabriel, now we sit down and we talk all the time about our sermons, and he'll talk to me about his, and I'll talk to him about mine, and we laugh a lot because I don't know if you know this unless you stand close to me. He doesn't sing very well. I'm just saying. No offense, buddy. I love you, but if he comes on stage, I try to like close my ear. You know, I'm kind of like this because it throws me off. It's not that bad, I promise. But there's a lot of people that don't sing well, but that's okay. Because worship isn't just about singing. And you need to understand that if you don't sing, it's okay. Because worship can happen in other ways. Worship must happen in other ways. Look at what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. What's this next line? This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you're going to learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You matter. God created you with a purpose, a specific purpose for your life. How do you find that purpose? It's by embracing the overall purpose of your existence, and that is to worship God. Because in that worship is where you start to figure out your purpose. In that worship is where things start to change for you. So worship, you have to look at it and you think, well, what does worship really and truly look like? What is worship? If it's not just singing, if we've been created to worship, we've established that, and it's not just singing, then what really is worship? Okay, what you got to look at is let's look at Matthew 4, 8 through 11. And we won't turn there, but just remember the story of when Jesus was baptized by John. And he goes down, John brings him up, and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove and all that stuff. The first thing that happens after that is he's sent by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. When he's sent into the wilderness to be tempted, one of the temptations Satan brings him to is this: bow down and worship me. Now, if you look at it, worship there does not mean lift your hands and sing praises to my name. It means obey. Obey me. Even the devil knew that worship means obey. So if you look at it, if you want to know what worship really is, it can be boiled down to this: joyful obedience. Joyful obedience. See, worship literally means putting God in a place of authority in your life. Putting God in a place of authority in your life. And if you do that, you acknowledge his authority in every way and in every opportunity. Worship is putting God in a place of authority and then acknowledging that authority in every way and in every opportunity. When you worship, you say, God, I'm yours. God, I obey your will for my life. See, a sacrifice is just that. It's a sacrifice. It doesn't continue with its own will. And if Romans 12:1 says we're to be a living sacrifice, then we have to let our will die for his will. We say, man, there's a lot of things that I feel like I want to do, but I know that if I say, well, God, you can have your way, he's not going to let me do any of the things that I want to do. And that's this weird, crazy thing that we have in our heads that God literally wants, doesn't want us to have any fun, doesn't want us to do anything, or any of the things that we like to do, where he's only going to make us do really tough things and make us do stuff that we're uncomfortable with. Let me tell you something. God created you with the desires that you have for a purpose. Just because you think he's never going to tell you, don't do this, if it's something you really have a heart for. God gives you a heart for certain things because he wants you to accomplish those things. What his Spirit does is he pushes you to step out of your box and to accomplish those dreams that he's given you. Worship allows us to figure out what our purpose is. It can't just be singing. Colossians 3, 23 to 24 says, whatever you do, not just whenever you sing, but whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. When we start understanding what worship really looks like, it starts to unlock unlimited potential for growth in our lives. We want to grow. We want to get better. We want to be more than we are. We want to be the best me that we can be, right? You do that through worship. So what's the reason that we worship? Worship, first and foremost, the point to worship is to bring us into the presence of God. Right? The presence of God is where we want to be, because the presence of God brings all kind of things into our life. Psalm 22:3 says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Not just the songs of his people, not just the worship, but the everyday lifestyle of worship. God inhabits it. So if his presence is with you when you worship, what does it bring with it? See, the presence of God not only brings freedom and breaks chains for you, but it brings freedom and it breaks chains for those around you. I want you to think about this. Let me show you what I mean. Let's turn to Acts 16, if you got your Bibles this morning. Acts 16, verse 22, we'll start right there. It's the story of Paul and Silas, and they've gotten in trouble because they this demon-possessed girl was following them around, right? And she kept doing all this stuff, and she was a fortune teller. And finally, Paul gets completely fed up with her following them around, and he turns around and casts the demon out of the girl. Well, her, like, handlers get really mad because she was making them a lot of money because of the demon. So they get really mad. They drag Paul and Silas in front of the authorities, and the authorities send Paul and Silas to jail. It's kind of a jacked up story, I know. But they send Paul and Silas to jail. And that's where we pick it up in verse 22. It says, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeons and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Now, get that. They've got their feet in stocks. They've been beaten with rods. They've been stripped of their clothes, and now they're sitting in a dark dungeon. And they're singing praises to God. Okay, how many times have we gone through a little bit of a hard time in our life, and we just stop praising? And we stop looking to Jesus for the answers? And we say, God, I don't even know where you are anymore. My boy has gotten stripped, beaten, and put in jail. And it's midnight. And he's worshiping God. That's where we find him. So at midnight this happened. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake. And the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open. And the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open, and he assumed the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword to kill himself, but Paul shouted to him, stop, don't kill yourself, we're all here. So the jailer called for the lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, the story I want you to get is that the jailer, his whole family got saved because of that situation. But did you get that Paul and Silas were worshiping God, and the other prisoners were just listening? But when the earthquake happened that freed them, it freed the ones that were around them. You need to understand how powerful the presence of God is in your life. When you take the presence of God with you in your worship, when you say, I'm going to live a lifestyle of worship, a living sacrifice to you, God. Everywhere you go, the presence of God goes with you. There are stories in the Bible of Paul's shadow that was healing people. His shadow would fall across him and they would be healed because the presence of God was so strong with him. See, that's what worship does. When you worship God, it brings freedom. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Not just for you, for those around you. The second thing that worship does is worship brings comfort. John 16:7 says, but in fact, it's best for you that I go away. This is Jesus talking. He says, but if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I can send him to you. An advocate right there is also translated as the one who comforts. We refer to the Holy Spirit as the comforter a lot of times. Because when you're in the presence of God, the things that are hurting, the things that are bothering you, the things that are hard to work with, the things that are hard to go through, the hard to deal with, they start to just fade away. They're still there, but the presence of God makes them so much easier to bear. You ever been in that moment where you're just sitting there and you're going through something tough and maybe you're riding down the road and all of a sudden you just start saying, God, I need you. I don't know what else to do. He just can't contain it. It's the Spirit of God wrapping his arms around you, bringing comfort, bringing peace. The Bible says he's the peace that passes all understanding. When you don't know where to turn, worship brings Christ and his Spirit to a place where it brings you comfort, where you can take a breath and just say, God, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for sending the comforter here to help me today. Worship changes things. Worship brings comfort. Worship also brings fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11 says that you make known to me the paths of life. In your presence there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, the presence of God doesn't just bring happiness. And we talked about this a little bit last week, Pastor Gabriel did. It doesn't just bring happiness, it brings joy. It brings, and joy is so much deeper than happiness. And it doesn't just bring joy, it brings fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. When you worship, we find that worship brings the presence of God. It brings the Spirit of God with you on an everyday basis. When you have that Spirit of God with you, it takes that comfort and changes it to joy. And that joy becomes overflowing and it becomes something that pours out on the people around you. And you walk in a room and instead of being brought down to the level of the room, you bring the whole room up because of the joy that God has placed in your heart. And see, joy has nothing to do with happiness. We talked about this a little bit last week. Joy is so much deeper than happiness. I remember, any of you guys ever read the Left Behind books? Anybody? No? Okay, there's like one. Awesome. Beautiful. I read every one of those books. I remember I was in college when the last one came out. And the day it came out, I was walking around like all day like this. Between my classes, and it was crazy. I think I read the whole book in a day. It was funny. But there's this one character that he's getting chased. His family's gotten killed and all this stuff. And he's hiding out in this little, I don't even know what you would call it, but this little place where he can't be found. He's in the middle of like the wilderness. And these believers finally get to him and they're like, hey, how are you doing? And like I said, his whole family's been killed and everything. And he says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And they said, well, how can you be talking about joy at a time like this? And he says, because joy has nothing to do with happiness. My heart is broken. My spirit is sad. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I've always got my God. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not about being happy with your circumstances, but when we live a life of worship, we know that we can have joy that's overflowing. Then in every circumstance, we can look at it and we can say, God, I hate what I'm going through right now. I hate what I'm dealing with right now. But I know that I can have joy knowing that you're with me while I go through it. I can have joy because of your presence through worship. See, when we come in this place, we get together and we find strength from each other. And we hug necks and we shake hands and all that stuff. And then we stand up here and we start singing some songs. And that's where we kind of get the fill up that kind of gets us going for the rest of the week. That's why it's so important to spend time together, to come into a place like this and worship. Worship makes life a little easier to live and a little more enjoyable. See, we talked about that worship lets us come into the presence of God, and it lets us take the presence of God with us. David said in Psalm 34:1, he said, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. I will worship Him at all times, and His praise will continually be on my lips. See, this is something for us to live by as Christians. We can't just walk through this life. Obviously, David didn't mean that he was literally walking around all day going, God, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, God, you're awesome, God, you're so wonderful, God, I worship you every single day, God, you're so great, you're so wonderful, because that's just not feasible. When David said, I will worship you at all times and your praise will continually be on my lips, he didn't mean that I'm going to continually be singing worship songs to you. No. He meant I will live a life of worship that's pleasing to you. Everything that comes out of my mouth, let it be something that's pleasing to you. Every action that I take in my life, let it be something that's pleasing to you. Everywhere I go, let me take your presence with me. Every place that I put my foot, let your worship spring forth. David was a man that understood worship. The man danced in his underwear when they brought the ark back to Israel. We're going to try that next week. Just playing. Just joking. David was a man that understood worship. And we talk about worship being a lifestyle. But you know what? There's a part of worship that is a Sunday morning experience. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. There's something about being able to walk into a church. It doesn't matter where it is. Obviously, I'm partial to Gateway Family Church. If you need a church home, we'd love to have you. But there's something about being able to walk into a church with, you know, a few hundred of your closest friends and just lift your voice to Jesus. Moses is talking to God in Exodus chapter 33. And God has told Moses, I'm going to take you to the promised land with the Israelites. I'm going to take you where I want you to go. I've got something set for you. And I'm going to take you there. I'm going to send my angels with you. There's miracles. There's signs and wonders. But I love Moses' response to God. He says in verse 15, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from everybody else. The Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I do look favorably on you, and I do know you by name. Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. My heart is worship. That's why I do what I do every Sunday. Not because I was hired to do a job, and that job is to sing and play music. But I was hired to do that job because my heart is worship. And I need you guys to understand how powerful that worship time can be. I understand that the sermon, that's the meat of the day. We all agree with that. We talk about that in staff meeting. That's where God is going to speak. But let me tell you something. God speaks during worship. It may not be from a sermon, but when you say, God, I surrender everything I am to you right now. God, I open myself up to what you want to do in me, in this church, in this community, through me. And we start singing. God starts changing things. Why do we do worship before we hear the word? Because it allows you to start clearing your mind. It allows the Spirit of God to start working in your heart. It allows the ground, the soil, to be softened, to be tilled up, to get ready for the seed of the word to be planted. But see, that's not going to happen if you guys don't open yourselves up to it. Worship is a lifestyle, but part of that lifestyle is the worship service. It's coming together. It's hanging out with your church family and saying, God, do what you want to do in this place. There is power in worship. Chains are broken in worship. Freedom happens in worship. We sing songs not just to make you feel good. We sing songs because those songs are anointed by a holy and righteous God that has inspired those songs. Worship has to be more than a lifestyle. When it's time to worship, our response needs to be exactly what Moses' was. God, show me your glorious presence. I'm not going anywhere without your presence, God. I am not going to take a step without you because I can't do this life on my own. God, your angels are great. They're great, but they're not good enough. The miracles are awesome, God, but that's not good enough. God, you could take all that, but if I don't have your presence with me, I'm not going. Because you are the end-all, be-all of my life. I love the miracles and I love the angels, but they're nothing without the presence of God. And see, it's up to us. We were created to worship Him. The first plan didn't work out. You know, we talked about Terry Dean and Danny Werfel. Terry Dean got sat, and then Danny Werfel took over. Let me tell you something. When Lucifer was thrown out of heaven, God said, I will reach down into dirt and pull out something that will be a better backup plan than the first plan ever was. That's why Satan attacks you so hard. Not because he sees you as some awesome and great and mighty thing. No, no, no. Because you were his replacement. The place he wants to be that he will never gain access to the level that he was. He will never gain that access. You and I can fling open the doorways to heaven and say, God, we will come into your courts with thanksgiving. We'll enter your courts with praise. Because we were created to worship. Not just in singing. Yes, that is a huge part of worship with music and just lifting your hands and closing your eyes and letting God work. But through just a lifestyle. A lifestyle of pleasing God. See, there's a lot of things in this life. There's a lot of things in this life that bring us joy and bring us happiness. But the presence of God outweighs them all. And the presence of God comes through worship. You want purpose in your life? Start to worship. You want to know what it's about, to know the comfort and peace of God, and you haven't figured that out yet? Turn the sports radio off in the car sometime and turn on some worship music. Just shut yourself in and say, God, I just worship you. I don't even understand how this works, but I worship you. And watch what he does in your life. Some of you are going through this life and you feel like you don't have a purpose and you don't have a place in this life. But God wants to give you one. If you'll just turn everything over to him and you say, God, I'm going to worship you and you alone. Everything else is going to take a back seat to you. Everything's going to change today. He'll change your life.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.